me, if you will, to Psalm 119. It's right in the middle of your Bible. Open your Bible to the middle page and you just might be in Psalm 119. We're going to read the whole Psalm. No, I'm kidding you. We're just going to read verse 59. It is the longest chapter in the Bible, if you call Psalms chapters. The whole psalm is about the Word of God. That's the one thing that ties it all together. It's about the communication of God to us. And has a lot of things to say about it. I just want to deal with just one verse. 59, I said, I believe. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. Amen. I thought on my ways. There's several things that I want to bring out about this because, there's four components in this one verse. One verse, there's no real greater context other than that the whole psalm is about God's communication to people, whether it's commandments or laws or statutes or precepts or ordinances or testimonies or whatever else he uses in here. His word is what the psalm is about. And there's a lot of things to be said about it. It's a wonderful psalm. Read the whole thing. Memorize it if you want. It's great. I just want to talk about the four components of this one verse. It says, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. First of all, that God likens your life to ways or to a journey. God likens your life to a road that you're walking along. And he does that many, many times. And here the psalmist, we assume it's David, he says, I thought on my ways, the road I'm walking on. I thought it over. The second component that we want to deal with is how you have to think about it. You ought to consider your ways. How many times the Bible tells you, think it over. You're walking down a road, think it over. Amen. Ponder the paths of your feet. He says in another place. The third thing I want to talk about is his testimonies, because that's a wonderful blessing. You might have passed it up. You might have missed what he's trying to tell you. God's given you some testimonies. You ought to think about that. And number four, turn your feet. You got a choice. Turn your feet. You're not in a rut. Well, maybe you are in a rut, but you can get out of it. You can turn your feet. Let's ask the Lord to bless us. Lord, this is what your word says. You said, we think on our ways, we turn our feet. We want your testimonies. Lord, I want you to touch people here with your word, Lord. It's not our eloquence or wisdom or knowledge or experiences. It's your Holy Spirit carrying your words, your communication to somebody's heart. And that is all that there is. There's just nothing else. You talk to us, Lord, and we've got the blessing. If you ignore us or throw us away, Lord, if we're not important to you, we've got nothing. But, Lord, the fact that you've cared about us and you've spoken to us and you've called us, this is a wonderful thing in our life, Lord. Don't let somebody here that doesn't know you go out of here without knowing that you care about them. Show it to them in their own heart. Bless us today, God. We give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
My ways, the path I'm walking, the road I'm traveling on. Forget who Robert Frost wrote a book on, I came to a fork in the road and I took the one less traveled by, right? Something like that. He says, and it made all the difference. you're gonna meet some forks in the road and you're going to choose one of them or not, right? Your ways. The Bible talks about your life as if it's a journey. And I want to talk to you about that just a little bit. Number one, life is like a journey. Life is like a beginning and an ending, a source and a destination. Life is like you're walking along a map and you can just see yourself. I don't know if you have those little things on your phone where it just tells you where you are on the road. It actually tells you where you are. My phone is a little weird because it has it pointing the opposite way that I'm going. I think it's really strange because I'm always wanting to turn my phone. But the truth is, it helps you, right? You got a map and you're walking down this road and you say, turn left at the next corner. Or like I believe it was Lucille Ball said to her husband, says, turn right here. So he turns left. You can get confused, right? You can make a wrong turn. I'm glad some of you got that. Some of you are saying, who's Lucille Ball? All right, life is like a journey, and there is an ultimate destination, right? I mean, you're on a journey. You're not just wandering. You're headed somewhere. Where are you headed? Yeah, where are you headed? What's the end of your journey? By the way, folks, there's an end to your journey. Amen. You don't just get to keep on wandering around. You don't just get to keep on going. Sooner or later, you reach your destination, and then it's over. Your journey's done. Yeah, Paul calls it like a race. He says, I'm racing. Yeah, and I'm looking for a prize. Well, that's what the Bible talks about. He says your life is like a journey, and there's a destination, and you really ought to consider where you're headed. Do you know where you're headed, by the way? Do you know where you're going when you die? Some people want to say, oh, that's just not important. We got to talk about the good stuff. And all. No, where are you going when you die? What happens when you die? That's your destination. Something's going to happen when you die. All right. And the third point I want to make on here is that choices are like forks in the road. Now, a lot of us treat our life as if things happen to us and we just experience them and just, you know, choose today what we want to do or choose tomorrow what we want to do. We wake up in the morning like, you know, the whole world is in front of us and we just get to choose, you know. But I want to point out to you that life is like a journey and your choices are like forks in the road. You choose one or you choose another. And every decision you make affects your future choices. Now, you might not want to think about life like that. You might want to think like every day you wake up and it's a blank slate and you get to choose anything you want, but that's not the reality. The reality is the choices you have today depend an awful lot on the choices you made yesterday. Right. You might think you just made a choice yesterday that it has nothing to do with today, but boy, ain't that not true. That's just not true. Everything you decided, yes, just ask anybody who's trying to get over some kind of an addiction. Amen. Whoo, choices you made yesterday make a big difference in what you've got to go on today. Life is not just experiences. Life is a journey full of choices, full of forks in the road. And when you start walking down that fork in the road, you've made a decision and you're not walking along the same road other people are walking. I think it's interesting because our generation is full of troubled souls. Our generation is full of troubled people. I deal with it all the time. I work in the courts and I see the dysfunction in our society. You might see it on the news. You see something. The news is full of a lot of nonsense. So there's a lot of untruth in the news and a lot of selective narrative that they're putting out. You can't trust everything, but I'll bet you you've seen it. If you watch the news, I can't hardly stand the news anymore. But if you watch the news, I'll bet you you've seen our generation has become troubled. There are people with real serious problems. It doesn't matter what you want to call it. I mean, it could be drinking or drugs. It could be divorce. It can be depression. It can be sexual abuse. It's in their homes. It's in their lives. People are lonely. I don't know if you've noticed it, but people are lonely. And they've made choices in their life. And their lives are a mess. There's a big mess in the world today. And I know we had problems before, but I'm thinking the problems are getting worse. Now, maybe it's inevitable. Maybe with prosperity and with newer knowledge and stuff, maybe it's just part of the way things are. I mean, life is going to have different challenges, right? And so it's just inevitable. We got to go down this path, but I'm thinking maybe it's not all completely inevitable. That I'm thinking maybe it has to do with some choices you're making. Amen. Now, some things just happen, and it's not because of something you did. I realize that. That does happen, and I'm not trying to make you feel the blame for everything that's ever happened in your life. But let's just be honest about it. Some things are a result of your choices.
Amen.
Some things are on the road that you chose. Yeah. Correct?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
All right. Something else I want to tell you. You're not blazing a new trail. Just to remind you, you have very few new thoughts. Everything has been done before. Right. It was a while back. I got really sick. I had a high fever and I couldn't sleep and I was tossing and turning. And in my mind, I came up with an invention. I'm there tossing and turning and I had to get up, even though I was burning up with a fever, and I had to get up and I had to write down what I was dreaming, what I was thinking. And I wrote it down, and after I was all sick, I went and looked at it, and sure enough, I came up with an invention. A rotary engine that works. I know it works. So I decided to patent it. It had already been patented 6 times. So much for my invention. It was a work of genius, I'm telling you. Even if I do tell you myself. But somebody else already thought about it. As early as 1930. You're not blazing a new trail. You're not that smart. You're going down a road somebody else has already gone down. That's what a road is, isn't it? Isn't that what a road is? Isn't that what a path is? Somebody's been down that way. Why are you going to go through the wilderness if there's a road? You don't go through the wilderness, you go down the road. Somebody already went there. I'll bet you somebody figured something out and went that way for a reason. You are not new, you're not fresh, you're not following your dreams. You're following somebody else. You don't need to find yourself. Everybody knows where you are. Just ask somebody, right? Just say, hey, where am I? If you're not sure who you are, ask your daddy. If you don't have a daddy, ask your mommy. Who am I? She'll tell you who you are. Man, I'm interested that people think that they're doing something new. They're not doing anything new. It's not like they're on the cutting edge of society. No, it's all been done before. It's all been done before. You're not on the cutting edge. You're not thinking outside the box. You're not pushing the envelope, whatever that means. Every choice is documented. Every choice that you make, we have extreme documentation about that choice. I mean, trust me, there's more knowledge out there than you can ever assimilate. You will never assimilate it all. You go looking for it, you'll find more than you ever bargained for. There's so much already written. We know so much already. Somebody's already done the research. Every choice you've ever made is documented. For example, ask yourself, if I try drugs, what's going to happen? They'll tell you. And boy, it'll line up just exactly like that. It's going to happen to you the same way it happened to them.
Amen.
Let's say you decide you're going to be a drinker. You're going to be a drinker. You're going to be able to hold your liquor. What's going to happen? It's documented.
Right.
Somebody can tell you. Go to an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. They'll tell you what's going to happen to you. They will actually go through all of it. They'll tell you the steps of this and the steps of that and what happens there. What's going to happen to your family? What's going to happen to your children? What's going to happen to your job? What's going to happen to your mind and the way you think? Yeah. You get your little kid and you think, oh, I'm going to try that marijuana. I'm going to try it. Oh, I think it's something fresh and good and no, it's well documented. We know exactly what happens when you try marijuana. You lose interest in school. You lose interest in accomplishment. Yeah, that's what happens. Your grades go down, yeah? You start being sneaky and paranoid. Oh man, we know this.
Amen.
And by the way, if you try it before your brain is fully developed, it will affect your brain. And you'll be dumb the rest of your life.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen.
Maybe not completely dumb. You say, well, I don't care if I'm dumb, as long as I'm mellow. Mellow. Man, when I was in high school, we had these kids, they talked about these, what was it, mescaline? They used to call it mescaline. They said, man, it expands your mind. It expands your mind. Yeah, it expanded their mind. I think it just blew it up. They've lost their mind. It was weird. It was wild. Everybody had their, and they call it all kinds of names so it sounds fresh, so it sounds new, but it ain't new. It's old. People have been doing that since forever.
Yes.
It's what the Bible even talks about, mingled wine. You know what mingled wine is? They put drugs in the wine to make it work better. Because their idea of the wine was they wanted to be drunk. They didn't want wine for their taste of the meat they're eating and in their supper. They wanted wine to get drunk. Why do you drink? If not to get drunk. Your ways are well documented.
Amen.
If you don't know, God knows.
Amen.
But I'll tell you what, your neighbor knows.
Amen.
Everybody knows what's going to happen if you do that. I've told this story before. I'll tell it again just because I'm going to be like my dad. Get used to it. We won't tell the same story. Joe West witnessed to a guy, got a Bible study with a guy. Name was Manuel. He's about 60 years old maybe. He'd been drinking all his life and his liver and his kidneys were gone. And he had a bag, forget what the name of it was, but a bag that he would have had some kind of solution in it. And he would have to raise it up for a while and let it all drain into his side. And then after a while, I don't know, maybe 30 minutes or an hour, he would drop it down and let it all drain back out. And that was the way he kept himself alive. At the time, we were giving him his Bible study, and I went there one day. I took the study for Joey, and I just was trying to give him the Bible study, and he looked at me and he said, Memo, because that's what they called me, Memo, Guillermo. Memo, he said, if I'd have known that drinking would do this to me, I'd have never drunk. And I told him, Manuel, you knew, and they told you.
Yeah.
Your priest told you, your mama told you, your daddy told you, your brothers told you, even the government told you because every single liquor advertisement said this will do you harm. Drink responsibly. Everybody knew. It's not something new. It's not something fresh. It's well documented. We know what happens when you drink. It's a way you choose. It's a road you want to walk down. And you choose that way, and it's going to have certain results, and it won't be a mystery. It's not an enigma. It won't be a surprise to anybody. And not you.
Amen.
Same with drugs.
Amen.
Get yourself a little heroin. Get your high. Oh, it feels good. It's euphoria. Wonderful. But we all know what happens to these people. We know what happens to them. We preach to them down there under the bridges. Yeah, we know what happens to them.
Amen.
They're standing on the side of the road saying, I'll work for food. And all they want is another fix. Man. You know what God's telling you? Think about it.
Amen.
Why don't you live intentionally? Why don't you make a decision after you've thought it over and then follow that decision? Because that would be a lot wiser. Marijuana's no good for you. Think it over. What good does it do to you? Well, it calms me down. Maybe you don't need to be calm. Maybe you need to be awake. I'm sorry. Listen, this is very simple. It's really simple. God says, think about it. Why don't you think on your ways? You realize you can consider, say, the end of a thing. You can consider what this takes me to. Where is it going? Consider if you want to spend your time with drinkers.
Yeah.
We get invited to parties from people at our work. We go to them. We're nice. But when they bring out the booze, we start shaking people's hands, say, we're going to be heading out. And they say, well, why are you leaving? Well, we want to get on the road before the drunks do. You'd be surprised how well they understand that.
Amen.
It's not a mystery. Could it be the way you act? Yeah, the way you behave. It could be the way you act. Drink, drugs, porn. You think porn doesn't have any effect?
Amen.
It'll, young man, I don't know about women, but I know young man, it'll change your mind. Amen. It'll change the way you think. It'll change the way you perceive women. Is that what you want? You want to be a pervert? Is that what you want? Playing with paper dolls? Or now it's screen dolls? That's not what you want.
Amen.
Don't tell me you don't know, but it's not just the choice you made yesterday. It was a fork in the road that you took yesterday, and you're going to keep walking down that road until you repent.
Amen.
And when I say repent, I mean change your mind. Really change your mind.
Amen.
It's the way you act. It's also the way you think.
Amen.
What about your ways? Think on your ways. How about the way you think? You think you can believe in evolution and it won't affect you? Jesus said you'll know them by their fruits. Well, what are the fruits of evolution? This is just a theory, by the way. It's just a philosophy. It's not science fact. There's no scientific fact involved in the concept of evolution. Natural selection is science. Evolution is a theory. It's a philosophy. It's a belief system. Amen. That stuff just happens. And stuff gets better. And it's not true. It's been disproven many, many times. Nothing just happens. Nothing just happens. DNA does not write itself. New organs don't just happen. That's not true. I don't care what they say. And I'm not hearing a lot of amens, but I'm telling you, it ain't true. They lied to you. It's a philosophy. It's a way of thinking. And if you think that way, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Marxism? Oh, yeah, that happened. Nazism? Oh, yeah, that happened. You know, you can trace it right back to evolution. Oh, they'll say, that's not true, that's not true. But just read their story. Read what they say.
Amen.
Read what they tell you. God's not necessary anymore. Now we understand everything because of their philosophy of evolution. You think that way, it'll change your mind. People die because people believe that nonsense. Evolution did not happen, not once. It's never happened. It cannot happen. It is not true. Natural selection happens. That is true. It's found in the Bible. Yeah, it's found in the Bible. It's right there in the Bible. Natural selection. It's explained to you. Jacob was an expert at it. But not evolution. Nothing just happens. Stuff is created.
Amen.
By an intelligent God.
Amen. Amen.
They tell you, no, it just happened. I'm telling you, it's just a philosophy. It's just an idea. I know that in college they're acting like they're gaslighting you, making you feel like you're stupid if you don't believe what they believe. But they're not telling you the truth, folks. This universe did not just pop into being by accident.
Right. Amen.
No. And it did not explode in a big bang by accident. No, it did not. That's not what happened. And it did not expand its explosion and get faster and faster and faster, faster than the speed of light. It did not happen. Not by accident. Nope, can't do it. The laws of nature are not a product of themselves. God did it all.
Amen.
And listen, if you're not convinced about that, bless your heart. I don't know how to help you. You need to be able to come to some conclusion in your life.
Amen.
You are no accident.
Amen.
And I believe there was a time when you knew it. I bet you when you were a little kid and somebody was explaining to you right and wrong and things like that, and you're saying, you know, you're right. And you knew you were a person and you knew you were important and you knew your life mattered. You knew it all. Somebody had to train you out of that. And now you got a different philosophy, a different way of thinking, and it'll affect your life. It'll make a difference. It'll also affect your children's lives.
Amen.
Make a difference in them too.
Amen.
How about religion? Some people are religious. I don't have much use for religion. I think religion is a lot of nonsense.
Amen.
Hocus pocus stuff. It's this abracadabra stuff. And somebody dresses a little different, puts a collar around backwards, puts a mitre on his head, and you think he's some kind of holy man? Well, they'll fool you. You're going to kiss his ring? You'll bow down to him, call him father, and kiss his ring when Jesus said don't do that?
Amen.
Yeah, Jesus said don't call him father.
Amen.
Jesus said that.
Amen.
Amen. Don't call any religious leader your father. You only have one spiritual father, and that's your father which is in heaven.
Amen.
And everybody else, we're just brethren.
Amen.
That's what Jesus said. And you think it doesn't matter that people disobey that? It's amazing to me. I've talked to many, many priests. I never called them father. They get a little offended when I call them mister. Señor. Mister. I wouldn't call him father. One guy asked me, how come you don't call him father? Because Jesus said not to.
Amen.
I can't think of a better reason not to.
Amen.
And by the way, we're not taking that out of context. That's exactly what Jesus was talking about. People want the titles. All right. It's the way you think. It's the way you lie to yourself. You want to imagine yourself. You want to act queer, perverted, weird, disgusting? You want to be like that? Go ahead. That's your way. That's your choice. It's not the first one. You're not blazing a trail. You're doing something a million people have done before you. Look down the road. Think about it a little bit. See what's going to happen. What's going to happen if you deny reality? You pretend you're a boy when you're really a girl. What's going to happen? Oh boy, you're going to be confused. You're going to be depressed. I feel angry at parents that don't know enough to tell their kids, no, that's not true. Amen. I've seen it. I've seen it in the courts. I've watched them bring them in, little boy, 11 years old. And boys, when they're 11 years old, kind of look like girls. They're kind of cute. But when they're 16 years old, no. They don't look like girls, and they're not cute. And you put a 16-year-old boy in a dress, boy, you have done that man a disservice.
Amen.
You're doing him wrong. It's because of the way you think. Somebody's messed with your mind, right. Makes you think strange, and then you become truly weird, or what they call queer. You do become that way. That's not an insult. I'm just telling you, it's the way you think, and it changes the way you live, and it changes everything that happens in the rest of your life. Because your life is a way, it's a road, it's a journey, and you're traveling down it, and you take a fork in the road, you go down that way, and it will affect you. It'll affect your future. That's why he says, think about it. And David said, I thought upon my ways. When was the last time you did some thinking about your ways? Think about your ways. How about your way of deciding? Your way of deciding. Do you decide by emotion? Oh, that makes me feel so good. Who cares how it makes you feel? Is it true? Is it right? Is it helpful? That's a bad way of deciding. Don't follow your heart. What a stupid way to live. Follow your heart. Your heart is not all that bright. If you really want to be wise, follow what your parents tell you.
Amen.
Most parents.
Amen. Amen.
Some people make decisions based on their impatience.
Amen.
They want it now, now, now. We want it now.
Amen.
Some people make decisions based on their flesh.
Yes, sir.
They want pleasure. You can't pass up that chocolate bar even if you have to carry it around with you the rest of your life. I can't pass up a batch of oatmeal cookies if my life depended on it. Because we make decisions based on our flesh.
Yes, sir.
It's the way you decide. These are your ways. These are your ways. God says, think about it. Think on your way. Consider your paths. Ponder the paths of your feet. It's possible that you made some bad decisions.
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you. Have you ever noticed that people blame the refs when their team loses? When Dallas lost to, I forget who, lost to, I think, San Francisco, somebody said, we lost to the refs. And then when Detroit lost to Dallas, I heard it said, the refs gave the game to Dallas. They're always blaming the refs. First of all, generally that's not true.
Amen.
I just tell you, generally, it's not true. The refs did not make, if you've got two compatible teams so close, and that they're so close that one basketball hoop shot made the difference in the game, then yes, a ref's decision might seem to have made the difference. But what I always tell people is, forget the refs, because there's no good. No good can come from that. If it was the refs, then you don't learn anything. It's not helpful information. So the refs blew your team. So you could have won, but you lost because the ref made a bad call. Forget that. Who cares about that? That's not helpful. What did you do wrong, or what you could have done better that would have made the ref's call irrelevant? I didn't hear anybody saying Dallas lost because of the refs this last game. Because they got stomped. That's what bothers me about President Trump. Says they stole the election, they stole the election. Well, what about your lousy candidacy? What about your stupid debate that you did? That everybody felt like, what in the world? Who is this person? You can't learn anything if you blame somebody else.
Amen.
You need to learn from your mistakes.
Amen.
Stop blaming the refs. Stop blaming your parents. Stop blaming the government. Stop blaming Obama. Stop blaming Trump. Stop it. It's not their fault. It's your fault. And even if it's mostly their fault, you can't do anything about their fault. What about your faults?
Amen.
Fix that.
Amen.
Don't you get tired of a husband saying, well, my wife is this and my wife is that. I can't help your wife. You're the one in front of me. Why don't we deal with you? What do you do wrong? What are you messing up on? And you know, it's amazing. You go to the wife, she's the same exact way. My husband this, my husband that. It's not about your husband. It's about you. What could you do better? How could you solve that problem without even needing his help? Whoo, boy, that makes a big difference in your life.
Amen.
Stop blaming the refs.
Yeah.
Stop blaming the preacher. Stop Amen. Blaming your parents. Stop blaming the government. Stop blaming that latest conspiracy theory. It does no good to live in the past like that and say it's somebody else's fault. Wow. All right, get to number three. That's thy testimonies. I want you to consider, this is amazing, because many places in this same chapter, Psalm 119 talks about God's commandments and his laws and his statutes and his ordinances and his... Think about that, folks. Because most of us sort of chafe at the idea of more rules. I've had people ask me, well, if I become a Christian, what is it that I cannot do? If I become a Christian, can I still drink? I don't think you're even close to becoming a Christian. But we all chafe at rules. Nobody wants rules. Nobody likes speed limits except for other people. We don't like rules. And God puts some rules on us. And God puts his finger in your face and says, do what you're told.
Yes.
You don't like that, right? Nobody likes to submit to rules, right?
Amen. Amen.
But have you ever thought that God's communication is more than rules? He says, I'm paying attention to your testimonies.
Amen.
Did you notice that it talks about counsel?
Yeah.
Well, you know the difference between counsel and rules, right? Counsel is something clearly for your benefit.
Amen.
Somebody with some wisdom trying to help you out. Did you know that the Bible says that God gives counsel?
Amen.
He's a counselor. Did you know that God, the Bible talks about precepts? Means like an axiom, something that tells you what you can expect on certain things. It just gives you some understanding of the principles underlying your life. And wow, that would be good to know. It would be good to know. And God gives you precepts. Why do you focus just on his commandments, even though his commandments are for your benefit also? But maybe it doesn't feel like that. But can you see it when he says, I give you counsel? How does he say it over there in Revelation? I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. I counsel thee. I'm not forcing you. I'm not kicking you in the rear end. I'm not even pointing a finger and blaming you. I'm just putting my arm on your shoulder and saying, hey, let me give you some advice. And this is from God giving you some advice. I'd tell you what you could do better. I'd tell you how you could improve. And he maintains your integrity. He allows you to keep making the decisions. He just gives you advice and says, why don't you try this? You know, you ought to have a better attitude about that.
That's
You shouldn't have just this chafing attitude that, oh, so many rules. I'm so sick and tired. My parents make me eat broccoli. I remember President Bush, the first President Bush, he one time they offered him broccoli. He said, I don't eat broccoli. And all the broccoli growers got upset. And they went over there and said, hey, what are you doing? You can't be knocking down broccoli. Broccoli's great. He says, look, when I was a kid, I was forced to eat broccoli. I'm an adult now. I'm not eating broccoli. I know it feels good, but what about when somebody comes and gives you some good counsel?
Yeah, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Tells you some precepts. Lets you connect the dots. It helps you out. You still get to make all your own decisions. You're still free. You just now you understand something. You say, I don't want to drink. I don't want marijuana.
Amen.
I don't want pornography. Why? Because somebody said, I got some counsel for you. Let me tell you something that's better. Not just that I say, you can't do that. And the kids think, oh, he just doesn't want us to have any fun. Just don't want us to have any fun. Don't climb on the roof. He just doesn't want us to have any fun. Right? God has testimonies to tell you.
Amen.
You know what a testimony is, right? It's where I know something and I'm going to tell you what I know.
Yeah.
And that's God saying, hey, I know something. Let me tell you what I know.
Thank you, Lord.
Read Genesis chapter 1. You know what that is? It's a testimony. It's God saying, well, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Oh, that's a testimony. God says, I did that. It's a testimony, folks. He's not knocking it down your throat. He's not kicking you in the rear end, blaming you. He's not angry at you. He's saying, listen to my testimonies. Have you ever read the book of Ruth? It's a testimony. What a wonderful story. What a wonderful little book. I gave a bunch of Bibles to my coworkers. I followed Brent's idea and I went ahead and bought a bunch. I'd done it before to some of them, but I decided to do it to all of them and I did. I bought a nice Bible and gave it to all my coworkers and I put in there, I said, if you don't really know where to start reading, and I gave them some suggestions. And I know some of them really don't like to read, so I told them, read Ruth. Read the Gospel of John. Even gave him the page number. Because you know what I notice is that these testimonies help me. These testimonies give me some understanding. And God says, I want you guys to know these stories. Why? Because they're going to help you in your life. Did you realize what God is trying to tell you is, I've got some stuff that's going to help you. I've got some knowledge that you don't have, and I want you to listen to my testimonies. I've got some knowledge that I want to impart to you, and it'll be good for you. And man, that's not chafing. That's not irritating. That's not a bother. It's not a burden. It's a blessing. It's God saying, I want to give you something good for you. It's his testimonies. You know what it demonstrates? It demonstrates God's genuine interest in your well-being.
Amen.
Commandments don't seem to illustrate that. But testimonies and counsel demonstrate that God cares about your best interest. He says, here, listen to these stories. And boy, I'm telling you, I don't get tired of these stories. I cannot read the last part of the book of Genesis without breaking into tears. When I see old Joseph seeing Benjamin show up and he cannot keep it together.
Amen.
He wants to go and hug him. He had a different purpose, but he had to run and go weep in another room. Oh, you can't get past that. These are testimonies God gave you so you'd be informed and blessed. I think you ought to give God's testimonies a chance.
Amen.
I think you ought to read that book over and over and over again and give God's knowledge a chance to do some good for you. God's got testimonies, folks. All right, number 4, turn your feet. I want you to notice that this is a life choice because it's a fork in the road. And what he's telling you is turn your feet to his testimonies. That means make a difference in the way you live. Turn yourself around and go down his paths. Go down his road. He's got a lamp on that path. It's the Bible. He's got a light that goes in front of your feet. One time we were walking up the, in the Huasteca. I believe it was Brent and me and Dale and several others. We're walking up. It's like a 6-hour walk to get to this backwoods place. No electricity there. We had to carry everything. We had to carry a generator. We had to carry a projector. We used to do all kinds of preaching up in these areas. We walked all the way up there, and I was tired of carrying around that big flashlight, so I bought myself a little flashlight with the little C batteries, you know, and I had it ready, and I got about halfway up, and it started getting dark. Turned on my flashlight. I didn't make it to the top before my batteries went dead. Dale, when I got there, Dale said, "Hey, well, how did your small flashlight work?" I said, "It might as well have been a rock. You need some light." Well, God's got some light for you. You realize what God is telling you here? He's saying, "I've got something for you. Turn your feet toward my path and walk my way. Come this way. This is a better way. It's hard. Yeah, there's some things that are hard in His way, but it's a better way."
Amen.
It's the way of patience. Yeah, it's the way of righteousness. It's the way of good testimony.
Amen.
Ah, it's a healthy way. It's the way of long life, the Bible says. It's the way of peace, the Bible says. It's the way of salvation, the Bible says. Okay, you need to make not a momentary interest in the Bible. I'm not saying just start, you know, getting some devotional benefit out of the Bible. That's not what I'm trying to tell you. Just read a little bit of the Bible and get a little blessing out of it every so often so you can feel better in your life. Who cares how you feel? You need to change your life. Your life needs to be changed so you're following God's way. It's talking about a life change. And let me tell you something. You can do it.
Yes.
You can change.
Amen.
Did you know you can change your mind?
Amen.
You're not stuck. You can say, "I'm sorry. I'm going to turn around and go a different direction." That's what the Bible says that many, many times. You can choose. You can choose which fork to take. God's way or man's way. You're going to follow somebody. Why would you follow the devil? Why would you follow the atheist? Why would you follow the scornful? And the proud. Why would you follow the money greedy, hungry celebrities soaked in their own drunkenness? Why would you follow them? They're losers, every one of them. You know it. You know it's true. Why would you follow those singers? Can't carry a tune. Couldn't write a good lyric if their life depended on it. Why would you follow them? Don't follow them. Why don't you follow God? You get to choose. Yeah, you lose some friends. So what? So what? I'd rather walk alone than walk with those people.
Amen.
Let me tell you one other thing. God will help.
Amen.
You choose to go His way, He will help.
Amen.
He says, "I'll go with you. I'll never forsake you."
Amen.
He will faithfully walk with you when you walk His way. He ain't going to abandon you. He's not going to drop you. He's not going to set you aside. He's not going to get angry at you because you stumble. He says, "Just keep walking this way. Get back up." He'll actually help you pick yourself back up. He'll help you walk down that way. Did you know that He provided a way for you to live? He provided instructions for how to live. He's the one who set it up. I know some of you guys put your Christmas gifts together without using the instructions. And sometimes those instructions are half in Chinese. But God gave you an instruction book you can understand. Oh man, and He'll help you. Did you know He promised faithfulness? "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will be with you even unto the end of the world." He's also predestined an outcome.
Amen.
Listen to that. He predestined the destination. He predestined the outcome. You give your life to Jesus. You decide to walk His path. Not a momentary decision, not just pray, repeat a prayer, not just walk an aisle, but make a decision to follow Christ, give your life to Him. He not only promised faithfulness and gives you an instruction guide, and many people that are interested in your well-being and Himself interested in your well-being, and He'll give you testimonies and counsel and precepts and commandments that will help you. Boy, not only all of that, but He predestined an outcome. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Yeah, walk down His ways. They follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck it out of my hand. Never perish. I like those words. They shall never perish.
Amen.
God predetermines an outcome. He says, my sheep are going to make it home.
Amen.
Give yourself to Jesus Christ, and that's what your promise is. That's what you've got. You walk in His ways, and yeah, you'll have some tough times. But boy, God will be there with you, and He'll help you out. It's a promise He made. That's why David said, I'll read it again. I thought on my ways and turn my feet unto thy testimonies. You couldn't do any better than that.
Right.
Think about your ways. Turn your feet to God's testimonies. Give yourself to Jesus Christ. Become a Christian, true Christian, and you just see how He fulfills His promises.
Amen.
Lord, I ask You to bless this congregation this morning. Take care of us, God. I say this afternoon, Lord, I ask You to bless us on our way. Bring us home, bring us back tonight, Lord, as a blessing, Lord, to worship You. And if anybody here doesn't know You as a Savior, oh God, call them. Let them hear Your voice. Make them to know You. I ask You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Come back tonight, 7 o'clock.